Good morning. Over 1,000 tongues to sing. My great Redeemer's praise. My question is, do we do it with one? We have one, don't we? But do we do it with one? This is the day the Lord has made. You believe that today? Amen. I will rejoice in it. How are we doing with that today? How are we doing rejoicing in the Lord? You know, sometimes we come, you ought to sit up here once in a while. You sit up here and you look out there and you get, anybody happy to be here? Anybody here to praise and worship God? If this is the day the Lord has made, let's rejoice and be glad in it. It's an incredible thing, a credible opportunity we have. We need to realize we are in the presence of the Almighty God. We are here to praise and to worship Him. I wanted to find a few words before we get started this morning. One is worship. Worship, we talk a lot about that, don't we? Here's what it means. To worship is the act of paying divine honor to the Supreme Being. Divine honor. It's a reverence and homage paid to Him. Reverence. Reverence. I heard somebody say one time that's a sense of awe. Reverence is a sense of awe. Do we feel a sense of awe at being in the presence of God? Would we feel a sense of awe at being in the presence of a king somewhere? The Queen of England, or whoever. You fill in that blank the way you want to, but we are in the presence of the Almighty God, the Sovereign Lord, the King of the universe, the Lord of Lords. We ought to feel a sense of reverence. Praise, to extol or lift up, to prize, to value, to extol in words or song, to magnify, to glorify. To magnify, to glorify. Is that what we were doing just a minute ago? You know, I understand we're singing. And I understand that music can reach a part of us that maybe words can't. But I wonder if we just sing the words or if we're singing to praise God. It's just a question. And after doing this week, I've got to tell you, I think some things have changed in me. There is a different kind of, I don't want to say attitude. When it comes to worship and praise, there's just something that has. I sensed this years ago in 1993. I went to there was a retreat with like about 80 or 85 pastors from Central Ohio. We went to a retreat center in Euclid to pray as Billy Graham was coming to Columbus that fall. And when we got there, you know, I'm a pretty good Baptist. I know all the songs and stuff. I do. I know almost every song that you could think of, hymnal, praise course. I know most of them, except your new ones, Mike. I don't know those very well. But we get there, and we agreed that the Charismatics and Pentecostals weren't going to speak in tongues, that the Baptists weren't going to preach, that we would just be there and pray with one another and sing. I learned a whole lot about worship that week. It's not just about singing words. It's about an attitude toward God. And sometimes I forget that, and I have to revisit those things. Thanksgiving. Aren't we having a day this week we call Thanksgiving Day? Just a thought. It's the art of rendering thanks, no kidding, or expressing gratitude. It's a public celebration of divine goodness. It's also a private celebration of divine goodness. It's a day set apart for religious services. And what day usually during the week do we set apart for religious services? Sunday. But Sundays aren't enough. Every day is a day set apart for Thanksgiving. Or every day should be a day set apart for Thanksgiving. Count your many blessings. When's the last time you sat down and thought about your blessings individually? You began to count them and to list them. And to thank God for each one of those things. And to praise Him because He's the author and finisher of our salvation. He is the creator, the giver of every good gift. It's not just for Sunday. It's for every day. And certainly it's not just for Turkey Day. Thanksgiving. What are y'all going to do this Thanksgiving? Well, you know, some's going to travel. We're going to travel. Go see our daughter Stacy. Some of you are going to travel shorter distances to see friends. Some of you are going to get together with family who come to see you, and some are going to eat. Almost everybody's going to eat. But But the problem is we eat too much. We're going to watch football, and then we're going to eat. We're going to watch more football, and then we're going to eat again. And maybe some people will take naps, and then we're going to eat again. All of that is good. It's really good. But where's God on Thursday? We're going to be so busy, or many of us will be so busy doing all the stuff that we forget the giver of the stuff. Will we even acknowledge Him on Thanksgiving Day? My prayer is that we will. Each of us will. Psalm 100. Let's stand and read it. Joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Father, we thank You for Your word. And we thank You for the encouragement to celebrate and to praise and to be thankful who You are, to come and worship at Your feet. And Lord, I pray that that is the desire of each of us today. Lord, we pray that we would lift up Jesus and glorify His name so that we might be drawn closer to You. We thank You and praise You for who You are. In Christ's name, amen. And I should have done this before. Go ahead and be seated. I should have done this before, but when Rick was doing announcements, did y'all hear his little aside to Wally? That Wally forgot his razor, evidently, and Wally said he's going to try to grow it out. And I can remember there was somebody up here preaching one time, talking about white folks and African-American folks, and then they looked at Wally and said, I don't know what Wally is. But what we do know about Wally is he loves the Lord. And that's what we're grateful about today. We need to be thankful, not just on Turkey Day, not just on Thanksgiving Day, a day we've set aside especially, but every day of our lives. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. How many of you, I did this in Sunday school class today, how many of you would say you can't sing? I'm thinking it's a few more of you than that. You can't sing, but what's it say? Does it sing to harmonize? Does it say to harmonize? It says make a joyful noise to the earth. To the Lord, rather, all the earth. When's the last time, sitting in a building like this, in a worship service, that you made a joyful noise to God? I'm just thinking. We're Baptists. We're conservative. We don't do those kind of things. And if we did, we'd probably intimidate someone else. One of my favorite worship praise songs is Shout to the Lord. I love that song. When we sing that, we need to get excited, don't we? We need to shout to the Lord. Have you ever heard anyone shout to the Lord while we were singing that song? Have you ever heard anybody just get excited about saying shout to the Lord when we're singing that song? Or do we sing that song, shout to the Lord? You know, I think it's an idea of worship, isn't it? It's an idea of praise. We need to realize that it doesn't matter what anybody else in the room thinks. This is about my relationship with God. And if somebody says, yay, God, it's okay. What would we do, Lisa, if you got up in the aisle and started dancing? Now, I know that of all the people in this room, Lisa's probably the least likely to do that. But at the same time, isn't that worship? Or shouldn't we consider that to be worship? You know, sometimes we think, I heard a long time ago that, when my wife was growing up, very conservative Baptist church, they didn't really believe in card playing or dancing. Now, I'm not saying that infected Diane. But the idea was that if you danced, it could lead to something else. You know what? If we dance in the presence of God, it just leads to a more familiar, a closer relationship. By the way, in the Bible, doesn't it say that after they got the Ark of the Covenant, David danced all the way back to Jerusalem? Doesn't it say that? So, John, get up and dance all the way to the altar. I'm just... The idea of making a joyful noise also refers to a trumpet sound, a trumpet blast. I want you to look at a few verses with me today. Because what I want to do is I want to celebrate God. I want to praise Him. I want to worship Him. And I want all of us to enjoy that. Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. Does this seem to be repeated in Psalm 100? Then don't you think that the author of this meant it? That God meant it as He was giving His words to the author? Come into His presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is what? A great God and a great King above all God. In His hand are the depths of the earth. The height of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. And we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. He is our God. Shouldn't that alone cause us to fall at His feet and worship? Shouldn't that alone cause us to sing praise to Him? Shouldn't we be excited? He's our God. Come, let us worship and bow down. Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been just in the presence of God and made up a song to Him? Have you ever done that? I tell you, I don't do very well at making up songs, but I have done that before, and it is special, at least for me, because it's an expression of your heart toward God. Sing to the Lord a new song. Try it sometime. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. In verse 6 it says, splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nation, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge His peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes. For He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His faithfulness. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Psalm 97. Verse 1 says, the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the many coastlands be glad. Psalm 98, excuse me. Verse 4, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth, break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody. With trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the King. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. Remember when Jesus said that even the stones would cry out to worship God? Why is it sometimes that we're so reticent? Why is it sometimes that we are so reluctant to praise and worship God? I told this in Sunday school, and I've probably mentioned it 400 times, but when I was, before I came here, I was a deacon at First Baptist Heath, and one Sunday morning, evidently, I didn't see it, but two women raised their hands during the service. By the way, does the Bible say raise holy hands to God? I'm just asking a question, doesn't it? All afternoon, the pastor's phone rang off the hook. You know, we're Baptists. We don't do that kind of stuff. So the pastor went to those two ladies and said, please don't do that again. That's the only time I ever disagreed with my pastor. We need to raise holy hands in worship. By the way, I can remember, I know you don't think I can, but 44 years ago, this month, our son was born. And I can remember all our children being born, and there was a time when they would come to either me or their mother and raise their hands and want us to pick them up. They were raising their hands for us because they wanted us, because they needed us. Shouldn't we once in a while? Isn't it okay to raise our hands because we want him, because we need him, because we want to worship him? It's okay. It is all right. You know, it wouldn't matter to me if we changed the sign out front. What's the sign say out front? First Baptist Church, right? What if? I'm just off the top of my head. This is never going to happen. But what if we called it First Baptocostal Church? What do you think, Gene? I knew you'd like that. I'm not saying do these things because everybody does them, or don't do them because nobody does them. Do them if God leads you to do it. Doesn't matter what people around you think. What matters is, what does God think? And are we being obedient in our hearts? Are we being obedient to what God asks us to do? Make a joyful noise. Huh. Psalm 99. Verse 5 says this. Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he. What are we supposed to do with God? We're supposed to be on our knees before him. Worshiping at his footstool. Verse 9. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. Make a joyful noise to the earth. Someone has rephrased that as, shout ye unto Jehovah, all the earth. Shout to Jehovah, all the earth. I was watching a football game yesterday. And there were times during that football game that I got excited and I shouted. And there were times when I wasn't too excited and I shouted. But if I shout just because of a football game, shouldn't I shout more in the presence of the Almighty King? Shouldn't I be more excited about the King of Glory than I am about some silly football game? The football game is not eternal, but our God is. Our God is eternal, and our God sits on the throne of heaven, and he will never abdicate. I am grateful and I'm thankful that God loves me and cares for me and encourages me to worship and to praise him. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall, what? Continually be in my mouth. It doesn't matter if good things are happening or not. It doesn't matter if everything is hunky-dory. Anybody ever heard that phrase? It doesn't matter if everything's hunky-dory. What matters is you serve the living King of the universe. And he loves us. And he sent his son to die for us. And through that relationship, we have eternal life. I don't care what's going on. We have the promise of eternal life. And we are grateful for that. I did a funeral on Thursday night. For a 42-year-old man who died of a drug overdose. And Kiko, I know the chairs were messed up when you came in last night. I understand that. But there were three chairs in front of the casket because the funeral director moved those three chairs over because people were draped over the casket and they were afraid that they'd pull the casket over. No hope. No joy. I can make a joyful noise even when somebody I love dies because of my relationship with Christ. Because I know that because of my relationship with Christ, if the person in that casket had a relationship with Christ, my relationship with that person is not over. I will see that person again. I am looking forward. You all know I've talked a million times about my relationship with my mother. I can't wait to see my mother again. I can't. And one day, I'll see her and she won't be sick and she won't hurt. And we'll remember some of the stuff we did. Let me just tell you one thing my mom and I did. She taught me, the reason I am who I am for the most part is my mother. Diane's had a lot to do with that too. But I remember when I was a kid, probably 8 or 9 years old, and I played baseball almost every day I could. And so my mom was, we were walking home from the park, and my mom was there, and she said something about playing baseball, and I laughed at her. I said, "You can't play baseball. After all, I didn't say this, but you're an old woman. You're a girl, and girls don't play baseball." Now, understand, this is in probably 1958 or 9. And so we just happened to have a wiffle ball and a bat. And so I gave her the bat and said, "Now we'll see." So I got back, and I didn't take it easy on my mom. I threw the ball at her as hard as I could. Smack. I thought she was lucky. And I threw the ball at her again and smack. She did it one more time and I realized she could play baseball. It's one of the things I remember about my mother that I will never forget. And I'm looking forward to seeing her again so that we can enjoy those memories again. I bet she can't hit it now, though. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. We can be proud people, can't we? And we can boast in a lot of things, our ability, our talents, our place in life, our bank account. There's a whole lot of things we can boast about. But the fact is, we need to make our boast in God. And the only way we can do that is what it says following that. Let the humble hear it and be glad. Let the humble hear it and be glad. We're here this morning to worship Him, to praise Him, to be thankful to Him. And we're not going to wait till Wednesday. We're not going to wait till Wednesday. Serve the Lord with gladness. In the Bible, the word serve describes an overall way of life. It's used to mean a specific activity, a personal term, gladness, joy and exhilaration, cheerfulness. I will serve the Lord with gladness. I will not serve Him out of obligation. I will not serve Him because somebody expects me to serve Him. I will not serve Him just because you think I should. I will serve Him out of my personal relationship with Him, and I will do it with gladness, with cheerfulness, most of the time. I try to do that all the time, and I'm learning to be able to be more consistent in that. But I'll tell you, sometimes you just don't feel it, do you? But it doesn't matter what I feel. What matters is fact. And the fact is, He loves me and cares for me. And I can rejoice and serve Him with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. I'm going to stop and we're going to sing. Is that okay? Doesn't matter. We're going to do it anyway. I think the greatest hymn in our hymn book is "Jesus Loves Me." I don't think there's a better song ever been written. You know, the Baptist National Anthem is "Amazing Grace." But we're going to sing that little children's song, "Jesus Loves Me." You ready? Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. Yay, God. Yay, God. all know there are 575 references to praise, song, or music in the Old Testament. Wally, you thought I was going New Testament today, right? We're all over the Old Testament today. Come into his presence. In the Old Testament, a number of barriers stood between the sinner and the holy God. One was there was a gate to the tabernacle. And that once you got past the gate, you were in the outer court. Past the outer court, there was the altar and the laver, reminding the sinner that there needed to be a radical, continuing cleansing. Unless you were a priest, you could go no further. That's where you were stuck. Only the priest could enter the holy place, where the table, the lampstand, the golden altar were. But that priest could go no further. Once a year, however, the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies, the Day of Atonement, to make sacrifice for the people. Once a day, the high priest was allowed to go into the very presence of God. But the cross changed all that. The cross changed all that. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 says, Jesus yielded up his spirit. And 51 to follow says this, and behold, the curtain of the temple was torn into from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. That veil that separated us from God was now torn away, torn down from top to bottom, which indicates to me that God himself tore that veil so that you and I would have access into the Holy of Holies. And yet, I don't want us to think for an instant that we can go in presumptuously. We go through only because of the work done on the cross. We go through only through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He invites us into his throne room, but only those who realize they are coming through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. I wonder, do we sometimes think we can barge into God's throne room? Don't we think there's things that you and I have to do before we go there? Are we invited into God's throne room with, well, let's stop. Access to his throne room is only through the blood of Jesus. There's a story about a little boy who wanted to see the King of England. And so he went to the gate and he said to the soldier on guard, I want to see the King of England. And the king said, or the soldier said, no, you can't. Sorry, you have to move on. And he repeated that a few times, and the soldier was pretty adamant. Little boy, you go home. You can't get in to see the king. Along came a well-dressed man. He came by and asked the little boy what he wanted. And the little boy said, I want to see the king. So the man reached down, and he took the boy by the hand, and he led him by the soldier. And he led him by the guards. The soldier stood aside. No one attempted to stop him. And they went right into the presence of the king. See, the one who took that little boy by the hand was the Prince of Wales, who had access to his father. Listen carefully. The Prince of Peace takes us by the hand and leads us in the presence of the King of Kings. It is an amazing thing God does for us. He invites us into his presence. Think about that for a little while. That God has invited us in his very presence. And we can say what? Woohoo. We can be excited about that, can't we? And I know saying woohoo isn't being very excited. But can't we say woohoo! Can we say that? Can I say that, Daniel? Doesn't matter. I just did. Can we say praise the Lord? Can we lift our hands in worship and say, yay, God, thank you, God, because you've invited me into your presence. Come into his presence with singing. I said a minute ago there are 575 references to praise, singing, and music. I want you to know I didn't go by and count them individually. I read somewhere and a guy said there's 575, so I'm taking him at his word. The danger of in worship services is that we can worship the music instead of worshiping God. We can worship the music instead of worshiping God. John MacArthur said this, "Music and liturgy can assist or express a worshiping heart, but they cannot make a non-worshiping heart into a worshiping one. The danger is that they can give a non-worshiping heart the sense of having worshiped. It's not the form of worship, but the heart of the saint. Music can make us think that we've worshiped when we really haven't." Verse 3. "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." We need to be reminded once in a while who God is and who God isn't. We need to be reminded that we are completely dependent on Him. He is God, we're not. I want you to notice some things in the psalm. And I wrote this down. There are 11 of these. There's 12 of these things. In verse 1, it says, excuse me. First one says, in verse 2, "Come into His presence." He is God. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. "Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." Who is this about? It's about Him. It is all about God. God is the one on the throne. God is the one who is the giver of every gift. God is the one who showers His mercy and His grace on us. And we need to be thankful not just on Thursday, but every day. And I wonder, are we? Are we? I think that most of us are. We need to realize that He is the Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, the Sovereign Lord. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. We go through the gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. We exalt God. We extol God for who He is. We move closer to the presence of God. Let me say something this morning. We may have confused, and I have before. Praise is not worship. Praise is not worship. Praise precedes worship. Praise is the way into worship. Praise is the way, the entrance into the presence of God. Worship is the way into an encounter with God. Are we not supposed to encounter God when we come to church? Are we not supposed to lay ourselves on the altar? Are we not supposed, are we not to come and offer ourselves to Him? Francis Chan said something a long time ago in a book, Crazy Love. People have said, "I didn't get anything to out of worship today." And he says, "That's okay. We didn't come to worship you." Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. Look at verse 4. "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name." Saying the same thing twice, isn't it? Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Give thanks to Him. And His courts with praise. Bless His name. Praise His name. When's the last time you stopped to give God thanks for anything? When's the last time I stopped? Praise His name. To praise means to kneel. Kneel before our King, before God, realizing He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. good. His steadfast love endures forever. Some translation says his mercy endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations. God is completely faithful all the time. God keeps every promise he's ever made. Every single one. Now, I may not have experienced every single promise, but I know this for a fact. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Y'all know that? I know the Bible says, my God shall supply all your needs, all my needs, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Y'all believe that? I know that when it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I know that's true because I believed in him. I called out to him to save me, and he did. And every one of us who does that is saved by Christ. We can be thankful and praise God and worship him in the worst of situations. I know that Catherine will have it up on the screen. But I want us to look at Habakkuk, one of those guys we don't see very often. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 says this. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no fruit, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. To the choir master with stringed instruments. God is our joy. God is our strength. God is our salvation. And we can rejoice in him regardless of our circumstances. I'm grateful most of the time for the way God has blessed me in my life. He has showered gifts on me that I don't deserve. He has done things in my life that I can't explain. But if all those things were taken away, I wonder would I be able to express this. Yet I'll rejoice in the Lord. I believe that the closer we move toward God, the better able we are to withstand all the junk. And remember that we can praise him in spite of what's going on around us. If we lose everything, can we rejoice in him? Will we rejoice in him? I read somewhere this week, I can't tell you where, there are two people, the one person described two people, Flatlanders and Highlanders. Flatlanders and Highlanders. Flatlanders, he said, live in two dimensions. They are well-versed in the faith. They know what they believe. They know the routine and they love the routine. They live in the horizontal. Highlanders are simply Flatlanders who have discovered worship. Who are pushing up and reaching up to experience God. Flatlanders, Highlanders. Which are we? We can get caught in all the ritual stuff, can't we? And we Baptists like to say we don't have liturgy. Look at your bulletin today. That's liturgy, isn't it? We can get caught in that stuff. What if, I've said this before, one of these days I'm going to do it. What if we came into this room and you didn't get a bulletin? You didn't know what was coming next. Treason. People mumble. We don't need to be flatlanders. We need to be Highlanders. And the only way that we can be Highlanders is to fall in love with God all over again. To rejoice in the Lord regardless. Can we do that? We can. Will we do that? Let's resolve to get it done. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for